Welcome to the Brain Fever Podcast. This is a story of Jackie Stebbins, who is a lawyer, a mother, a wife, and an autoimmune encephalitis survivor. She wishes to tell her story about her fight with autoimmune encephalitis and her recovery. Now, here's your host, Jackie Stebbins. You might be surprised when you refresh your podcast, whatever you use for podcasts, and Brain Fever pops up. Yes, we're here. We haven't been on since April, but it's been busy. And we are joined by, well, the person that this podcast is for, Miss Jackie Stebbins. Jackie, we were going to do one last one before the summer hit, like at the end of May, beginning of June, and here we are in September. So first of all, how are you? And second of all, why did we have such a long break?
Okay, let me start by not answering that question. Yeah, it's
like every podcast that you and I do together.
A quick story. So when you just called me like the most important person, so I just finished reading Alex Trebek's memoir. And I shouldn't laugh. He's a wonderful man. But like, as far as writing quality and memoirs go, it was pretty awful. Maybe awful is a strong word, but the writing wasn't great. So he mentioned numerous times, because he was a hair repetitive in these very short chapters in this book he wrote, that he would never allow him to be called the star of the show when they introduced him. He was always the host. So heretofore, therewith after, I would appreciate if you would call me the host of the Brain Fever Podcast.
But if you were the host, then why didn't you do the intro? I wanted you to do the intro. This is, you're the host of this podcast. The producer rarely speaks on shows.
Well, what about, you have that great voice, like the people that introduce Alex Trebek and Pat Sajak. What are they then?
Well, I just the producer. They come in and chime in. But the only reason why I have this great voice is I'm continuously trying to get rid of a sinus infection. So it kind of gives me
that your children give you.
Yeah, that my children give me. So right away, so far this season, first full week of school and two kids sick, which means that I get sick. And thank goodness you and the other one, the oldest, didn't, you know, get sick. So
yeah, the oldest was mostly unfazed. I have been unfazed, which is just like God's grace, because otherwise we know I'd always be dying. So I literally think it's just good luck and a miracle that the last couple colds I've managed to avoid. But I guess going back to how are you, I did get COVID. I was the only one in the family. I lived in terror of it for years and years. And I was the one that fell ill. You know, thankfully, I was quadruple vaccinated. And I told myself, like, whatever, you're not going to die. Because there was that, like, I'd had a lot of anxiety about COVID. So thankfully, I did pretty well. I was definitely very sick. But I didn't really even have time to process it or think about being sick, because my beloved father was on hospice care. And right when I tested positive for COVID, Dad took a turn for the worst, and you know, my whole family knew it was the end. So unfortunately, my dad died in early May. So I think that's a little bit of our absence. We had kind of a different summer. We were really trying to help take care of my mom, which has been awesome. We have her close by now. So I had my mom, who's struggling with grief, as we all are, and then we have three children, and they're getting older and busier. And I was like very fearful of this whole summer, because I was going to have to like deal with them and keep them busy, all three of them. And of course, between the big kids and the baby, there's a gap, and the baby thinks she can do what the big kids can, and she can't. So I was already like really worried about this summer, but we ended up having an amazing summer. I kept my, J.M. Stebbins hobby work very light.
I thought you were going
So
to
I
say you
could,
kept your sanity.
yeah, that's debatable. But I kept the kids going. We did tennis and swimming and ice cream and watermelon and everything in between, and had my mom kind of helping out, and we could all kind of take care of one another. So that was this summer. So we kept trying to do this podcast, and I'm going to get to why this one is the one I've been wanting to do for quite a while. And then, yeah, this spring we ended with my dear friend Adria talking about women's health. Before that, we had Mike Kasdan in New York City, which brings up another memory. Like, Sean and I were able to go to New York City at the end of April. We were invited by the Encephalitis Society for what they called a VIP event. I think VIP was everyone but you and me. And we met Susie Miller, who's an ambassador for the Encephalitis Society, and she was a lawyer in her old days. She and I have a lot in common. She was born and raised Catholic, first in her family to go to law school. And we both pivoted from being a lawyer to writing, although she writes at a very high level because she and the star of her play, Prima Facie, just won, like, I think they won the equivalent of Oscars in the UK. The main star, Jodie Comer, won a Tony Award. Like, this play was epic, and Susie wrote it. And Susie actually had encephalitis in the 90s. So Sean and I packed our little country bumpkin bags and went to New York City this spring, and
Don't make
it
this sound
was
like that. New York City.
New York City. But we didn't bring cans of salsa. But 90s joke. Wasn't that a commercial for salsa?
It was, I think it was
Yeah. Okay.
Pace. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and it was on City Slickers.
Sorry,
Okay.
all I have is the image. I don't know, I can't remember the name of the show, but it's like Woody Harrelson and is it Sam Elliott? I can't remember. They go to New York City to find the killer that killed their friend, and they roll in a 1985 Ford F-150 and sleeping in their truck. And that's what I imagine us going to New York City.
Yeah, with our paste salsa and our bags. So New York City was amazing. We actually got to spend time with Mike Kasdan, which was lovely. Some friends I met years ago at an employment law conference took us to brunch. First time I got to meet Dr. Ava in person, which, if you follow me on Instagram, I posted all kinds of pictures of me, like, literally kissing her when I met her. I love her so much. So the trip to New York City was absolutely amazing. The podcast, we started off on such a high note in 2023. So it's our goal to end with a high note. And ready, drum roll.
I'm gonna be just like on Christmas vacation.
That came out of me pretty
Yeah,
readily.
that did.
So we are releasing the playlist to Unwillable today. I wanted to drop it on the podcast first. So the seven people who listen, we're up a listener. We went from six to seven.
Wow.
The seven
Thanks,
people
Mom.
that have downloaded this podcast. So we are over 5,500 downloads, 43 countries, and almost 800 cities. It's so amazing. So whoever you are listening, thank you. But this is like the thank you reward for listening to Brain Fever. We're going to drop the playlist here. I've actually had it on Spotify. I doubt anyone has, gone searching for it, but it's on Spotify. So we're going to have the link in the show notes. You can listen away. I'm super pumped. I think I saw this, I don't know, probably early this year. Someone had released a book and she's like, "Oh, here's the playlist." And I was like, "What? That's amazing. How did I not think of that?" So just like everything I do, I steal ideas from others and make them my own. Thank God Mike Kasdan's a copyright attorney. No, I'm kidding. It was just an awesome idea, and I'd always kind of had these songs still on my phone from when I got sick. I obviously have a lot of them in the book, but not all of them. So in June, I just looked at the playlist. I hadn't edited it. I literally sat down one day, cranked it out. That's the way I work. Just do it, get it done one
Really, I haven't
time.
noticed.
I thought about it forever, just cranked it out. A lot of it literally follows that exact playlist that sits dormant on my phone because, as we'll explore in this podcast, a lot of the songs gave me PTSD. I had just downloaded a ton of them when I was getting sick. So it's kind of this eerie soundtrack to me getting sick. Some of them are fun. I added in kind of the bonus tracks of Recovery. A little longer than I thought.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I was trying to check the internets to see like the biggest, largest soundtrack, and they just kept on coming up with like the Titanic, but it didn't say how many songs. So I'm thinking you might have set the record here.
I had the Titanic CD like everyone did in 1997 when we all went to the movie twice and a boy held my hand during that movie.
I don't know if it was me.
No, it wasn't. And I remember being like, put my hand down. I've never held hands and my hand is sweaty and hot. And I mean, he's a nice guy, but I was like, dude, I have no boyfriends ever. But he like held my hand through Titanic. Anyway, that's a side note. So of course I had the soundtrack. We all did. 1997, My Heart Will Go On. I can guarantee you that soundtrack is shorter than this one. This is like Simon and Garfunkel's greatest hits.
This would have to be one of those, you remember the CDs that you would get, usually the Time Life, and it'd be four CDs in this thick thing. This is what it would be.
Don't laugh. I still have those. No, this is just like a double CD. This is like Simon and Garfunkel reunite. It's a double CD.
Living in the
90s. For all the kids listening. What?
Living in the 90s, that CD.
Oh, that was a double. I think I had the tapes. Maybe I always wanted the tapes. Maybe I didn't have it. That's another story from my middle child's sad life in the 90s damn. Day.
There we go. Sorry, folks.
Anyway, no, this is like a double CD. I can tell you right now, 33 tracks. I want to say it's like 2 hours. I probably should have prepared for this podcast and looked on Spotify, but the children are all at school. That's why we're doing it. We are hustling.
This is a lot of songs, like looking this on an actual piece of paper, and then like the bonus tracks, which could be a CD in itself.
No, usually, that, like, knock it off. That's like six songs.
Bonus tracks are usually like one or two songs, or the hidden track, you know, some artists would put at the end and like the CD would still go, but there's no sound. And then finally at the 6 minute mark, it was just some riff. This is like a CD on its own.
Okay, you just gave me an idea for the hidden tracks, but here's going to be the hidden tracks.
Oh, dear. We're adding more tracks?
I am going to sing some of these songs live. Live and unfiltered. And unhinged. And off tune.
I mean, you can't see my expression right now, but for the listeners, it's fear.
It's disappointment. Thank you. I've seen that. Okay. Or embarrassment.
Yes. D, all of the above.
All right. Well, the answer is, as Alex Trebek would say, seriously, though, just skip that memoir. Just kind of remember him as like your fun uncle on Jeopardy that we all like grew up with, again, back to the 90s. But
well, I'm guessing that most of the people that listen to this podcast weren't even aware that Alex Trebek came out with a memoir. So now that you brought it out, they'll be like, oh, there's something for me not to read.
You know what? Here's my cool factor. I decided that I was going to quit spending so much money on books. I love books, but I'm just like, you know, every now and then we all like look at the budget, say we got to tighten up the belt. And I was like, you know what? There's a lovely thing called the library. So now I'm going to the library constantly and I just go to the memoir section. I made a TikTok about it. I love how I keep dropping in my TikToks. I went down, it's in the basement of the library with a nonfiction art, and I was like pulling out random things like Val Kilmer has a memoir and Lamar Odom. And it was right after the Blind Side guy had filed suit against his like adopted parents. And I pulled out his memoir and I remember taking a screenshot because the back is like, oh, you know, the two E's and, you know, I have this great life. And I screenshot it and I was like, oh, that didn't age well to you. So there's so many great memoirs and like Alex Trebek. And anyway, enough about Alex Trebek. I will answer in the form of a question on this podcast going forward. Let's get to the Unwillable playlist.
Yeah. So the Unwillable playlist, first of all, Did you want to get into how you set up these songs? Like, are they in a specific order?
They are. Okay. They are. Yep. This is handcrafted. I woke up from a nap and just pounded this out. And as with everything I do, there really is a lot that goes into it. But if anyone got into the depths of my mind, they'd be horrified. So I think it was kind of like the creation of the book. I'm not kidding. Like, I put a lot of thought into this. I think anybody that knows me, that knows this playlist, or this podcast, if you read my blog, the blog, you know, it's always titled In Song. Part of it is because I love doing it. Part of it is because I've proven to be bad at titles. But music is such a huge part of my life. It was a big part of when I was getting sick, the onset. It was a huge part of my recovery. So I think I thought about this a lot, and I really wanted it to like exactly track the book. And I wanted to have it kind of track the way I had downloaded them when I was like 5 seconds away from falling off a cliff. So, yep, they are in that. The order is actually important, but of course on Spotify, you'll probably just shuffle it and then you'll just be in awe of what great music I've selected.
Well, I mean, most of it going through it, I understand it. It's your soundtrack, but there's some stuff I'd never play. So let's get on to the Unwillable, A Journey to Reclaim My Brain playlist with soundtrack number one, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Elton John. So why is this the first one, Jackie?
Alex, the answer is, or wait, do I answer in the
no,
form
I
of
give
a
you
question?
The answer and then you
oh,
do
that's
it in the
right.
form of a question.
So I say, who's the greatest person alive? Like, who opens the Unwillable book?
Alex
what is
Trebek?
Such an epic, what is such an epic Elton song? Of course, we had to kick off with Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. That is not on what I downloaded. When I speak of the download soundtrack, that'll be the one that was on this little tiny old iPhone that's sitting next to me when I was getting sick in 18. So that wasn't on the original download soundtrack. Of course, that comes out of the book in part one. And what a way to open a playlist. Like, let's not kid ourselves. That's greatness.
I mean, I would have done something different, but...
Please.
You know... Not Elton John, but I understand it with you. Yes. You're giving me that look. Okay.
I am.
Okay. Should we move on to number two?
Yes, please.
Number two, Catch My Breath, Kelly Clarkson.
So that was one I actually started listening to after I got sick, but it was really an important song to me, kind of in recovery. And I think I like Kelly Clarkson. Obviously, I'd heard it before, but I think it appealed to me because, of course, like right after I got sick and when I was recovering, I was trying to process so much of my life leading up to AE and what happened. And if you'll notice in the beginning of the book, I think it's right in the intro. I'm not going to waste the time flipping through, but I say, you know, I was always busy, I was frazzled, and I was always trying to catch my breath. And I did that on purpose. Again, the weird things I do, they actually always come full circle. I think I did kind of envision putting the music together for this book. I didn't really think of it like the playlist. I was thinking of it more like when I was doing speeches, which of course, when I was this sad, broken little thing, hoping I could write a book and someday become a motivational speaker, which I'm now living those two new dreams. I remember thinking that would be a great song to use. So Catch My Breath. This is a little more now in the setup of the book. This is me and like from the day we opened Stebbins Malloy, the law firm, like trying to catch my breath.
Man, I mean, you really do have like in-depth stories of like every single song. So yeah, this all makes sense. Number three is Runaway Train by, surprise, surprise, Elton John.
Okay, a minute ago, I love how you're like, oh, you have long stories. I thought you were going to say, please, dear God, hurry it up or we'll never end this podcast.
Well, we are at 17 minutes and we're at song number three, so yeah.
I know, but I had a lot of stories, mostly about Alex Trebek. Again, no one is surprised. Okay, Runaway Train is amazing. It comes from Elton CD, the one, which is part of my spring Elton John collection of music. I have fall music.
That's right. She's got fall music, summer music, driving at night music.
Driving at night music is big. And that is more of like an 80s, like Top Gun soundtrack. Just things that you're driving at night to. No one understands.
No, they don't. And they still won't.
So this is the CD, the one. It's so good. It's one of my like top five Elton albums, not to be confused with top songs. We do genres when it's top Elton things. Runaway Train is so great. It's 90s Elton, and it's a collaboration with Eric Clapton. He's on the guitar. This song is so amazing. This is also one of the parts in my book. It is part two, where this is the bulk of the book, the onset. And Runaway Train, nothing hits harder than a runaway train, and that's what was coming at me. So great
that
song.
Makes sense.
Yep, great part of the story. Not actually not. It's the worst part of the story.
Yeah, it's the worst part of the story, but probably the peak of the story. Number four, Believer by the Monkees. No, I'm joking. Believer by Imagine Dragons.
I'm a believer. Yep, I was going to sing. Okay, Believer, Imagine Dragons. You and I celebrated New Year's Eve of 2018 at home. That is in the book. I was hanging by a thread in 17. Didn't know, like, life was actually going to get a metric shit ton worse. And I remember we were, like, I don't know, watching whatever the Carson Daly show or whoever does, like, the New Year's Eve, Ryan Seacrest. And they cut to Imagine Dragons doing a concert somewhere, and they played Believer. And I don't remember if I had heard it before, and I was like, dang, I love that song. So I had downloaded that. This is on the download of the onset with song number five, Thunder, Imagine Dragons. So I kind of got into them. That was on the original download. But Thunder is actually, you know where that comes from.
That comes from our little spring trip to Arizona and you not feeling very well and being bothered at the San Francisco Giants LA Dodgers spring training game. But it was the intro song to Andrew McCutchen coming up to bat.
Good job, honey. I swear, listeners, I didn't prep him. Yes, remember in the book, when we take this little trip to Arizona in, I believe, March, thinking like, oh, a little rest will reset Jackie. And I love Kutch. It wasn't the Dodgers. It was the Giants and the Pirates, right?
No.
He played for the Pirates?
No, he played for the Giants that year.
Oh, that's right. He played for the Giants. Love, love him. Sean makes me watch ESPN 30 for 30s. And sometimes I'm not even too big to admit I actually love them. And Kutch is just this, he's so handsome and he's this awesome guy. And so I wanted to see him. And that was his walk-up song, Thunder. But I had already left the stadium with the kids. Like, I couldn't handle it. And I was kind of standing in the front. And I remember hearing the song and knowing he was coming up to bat. But, like, I couldn't stand myself. So I actually listened to those two songs a lot, kind of in this onset time. I'm also going to add in a third level on this playlist. There's some songs that I literally can't stand, and I had to, like, get out of my, like, vernacular and out of my mind because they made me want to puke. But there were some that I just decided, like, okay, AE, you're not the boss of me. You don't get to claim these songs. So Believer and Thunder I still have, which is great because our kids love Thunder.
Moving on to number six, which I don't think I'm familiar with, Little Bird by Annie Lennox. sing me a tune from there to see if I, because I'm not familiar with the title.
You don't want it because at the beginning they start out like,
yeah, you're right.
And then
stop.
It's like, dun, 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 dun. It's like this synthesizer. It's so good. So I love Annie Lennox. I'm always a fan. Okay. This was one that was like, I would listen to internet radio a lot at work. And this song came on one of my random stations and I was like, dang, I love that song. So this is actually on the download when I was getting sick. And I think, I don't remember if I referenced this song in the book, but I referenced it indirectly. This was the first song on that playlist on the downloads. And it's very up-tempo. And I had just gotten, you know, my new car, my lawyer car with the amazing sound system. And of course, I was absolutely dragging ass every morning because of my insomnia by the time I got that card and downloaded this music. And I would like crank Little Bird to get going. And you need to listen to it when we're done because it is great. And that was like, I was trying to pump myself up. And I talk about that in the book. Like, I tried so hard every day, like, all right, you're going to do this. You know, you can do this, Jackie. Like, this is on you. And unfortunately, I was sorely mistaken.
Even though this is your soundtrack, for some odd reason, I just have had an image of Alex Trebek getting in his 1985 Porsche, driving to the studio, playing Little Bird, which I still don't know what it sounds like, but that's the image I have.
So Alex Trebek is not cool enough to play Little Bird, I hate to say it, but he had some really cool cars. He had like a Bentley, and he talks all about his cars and people that have purchased them. I think this is still... I'm actually going to pull this up on my little old phone, and here it is.
Thank you. Moving on from Alex Trebek's Little Bird, we have Simply the Best by Tina Turner, which I've always heard you sing randomly in the kitchen, just randomly driving in the car. What is the story?
I do not.
What is the is the story to Simply the Best?
Simply the Best, I can tell you where this song like sparked. And I was like, oh yeah, I need to download that. That's a classic. It was, we had just come back from the Democratic Convention. So we had our trip to Arizona, then we had the Democratic Convention in March. And that was, let's see, it was after Arizona that I had one of my first nights of like complete insomnia. It was because I thought I burnt my back and the tanning bed. I kind of thought that was to blame. Then we went to the state Democratic Convention. It was a long trip and I felt miserable the whole time. I couldn't sleep. Just everything was really out of whack. But at conventions like that, of course, they always have like the pump up music when candidates walk out. And I remember someone walking out to Simply the Best. And so that kind of sparked it. So I was getting sick, but I was like, oh yeah, I need that song on my playlist. So that is actually on one of the downloads. I think it's the next song after Little Bird.
And to be fair, I couldn't sleep at the convention either because that hotel had the tiny square pillows. And I just felt like those pillows, I would accidentally swallow them and I was laying flat on the bed. So I couldn't sleep either. So that's my non-AE sleep.
Yeah, well, I think there was some non-AE bad sleep for me too, because I remember it was like sleeping on a sponge. We got like a crap room and we both like kept meeting in the middle of the bed, but definitely probably more the AE.
And at first we were planning on taking the kids and we decided not to last second, so we got the room with the bunks. I was very close to going and crawling into one of those bunks.
Yeah, we should have. Side note.
All right, after Simply the Best, we have Perfect by Ed Sheeran with Beyoncé. Odd combination. Odd combination.
So, no, it's not.
I don't know who would ever sing with Ed Sheeran.
So, I love Ed. Elton loves Ed. A lot of people love Ed. Okay, so this song has layers. So, it was on the original downloads. I think that's in order. I think it followed Tina Turner. I listen to that song constantly in my new car because I loved it. Because I reference this in the book. My legal assistant, Megan, left me in October of 2017, and I was so sad. I had to be happy for her. She and her husband moved out of state, but I was sad. Like, Megan was my bestie. She was an amazing legal assistant. I loved her. She was much younger than me, but she loved 90s music, and she loved, loved Queen Bee, Beyonce. So when I heard that song on internet radio, like, Megan had left, and I remember hearing the duet and I was like, oh my gosh, I love this song. And I emailed her. I'm like, Megan, this makes me think of you. Like, I love it so much. So that was one that had come on my internet radio. I loved it, wanted to download it. So it was on that list. And I remember listening to it so much during that 2-day trial, which is now what I point to as the two most like disgusting days of AE onset, where I was starting to realize like shit's getting real. Something's really bad. And I remember listening to that a lot. So could not listen to that song ever in recovery. That cut me like a knife. I once left the grocery store because I could hear it playing on the loudspeakers. Usually they have elevator music that I love, like Phil Collins kind of stuff. But I remember that song and I was like, I was like, I need to get out of here. But I loved that song. So this, I just wrote a blog about this. I want to say it was the beginning of this year. Like one time it came on the radio and I was like, knock it off. Again, AE, you're not the boss of me. And I let it play on the radio. I think it was just him though. It wasn't the duet. And then I was like, no, I'm taking this song back. So that is actually a blog. I assume it's called Perfect. And now I can listen to that song and I like it again.
And to be fair, once again, I didn't go through AE and I can't ever listen to Ed Sheeran. So there we go. Number 9. Hall of Fame by The Script featuring Will.i.am. What is the story to this song, Miss Stebbins?
This one's definitely in the book, I think a few times. So when I was falling ill, this song came on a commercial. I think it was like for Nick Jr. And you remember this too.
Disney.
You know, okay, it was on Disney. And we had just kind of moved into this house. Our kids were so, so little. They're like, you know, 4-ish, 5-ish, and 2-ish, 3-ish. And I remember our oldest daughter was like watching that commercial with rapt attention, and it was Hall of Fame. And once again, that was one I was like, oh yeah, I love this song. Like, this is such a great, fun song. So I downloaded it. So this was on the downloads when I was getting sick. I think I was using this song to try to pump myself up. I don't know, maybe it sounds corny, but I'm being 100% honest. Like, my music is so important. I always had one song that I listened to before trial. I was a superstitious basketball player. Like, music has been such a part of my life as long as I remember, and I use it for different things. So I think I was trying to pump myself up with Hall of Fame, like, Jackie, you're a really great lawyer. Like, you can do this and you're a strong person. But it was almost like then when I took this dark, dark turn, I can picture myself driving to the Y in the morning and it's like dark and I'm just so exhausted that I feel strung out. When I took the dark turn, there was something where I started to kind of, I think, wonder if I was dying, which is really strange in hindsight, but I mean, I'm not lying. I think I kind of had that fear. And I started thinking about, like, my kids and my daughter and my son, you know, and being in the Hall of Fame. And so that song was huge in recovery. That was one I reclaimed immediately. I listened to it all the time. And that was kind of my, like, a Just Keep Swimming song. Like, you can do this again, Jackie. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard as hell, but you can do it. You can rise back up. So it's in the song. It was on the downloads. It makes me think of my kids. I've used it in speeches. And that's one. I don't listen to it a lot now because I've kind of worn it out, but I love it.
Moving on to number 10. It's Let It Be, but it's covered by John Denver. Why this particular song?
I love John Denver, and this summer I bought a John Denver shirt, I would like people to know, and I know it's a picture where I met my friend.
I mean, there's
friend.
Some things that we could just get into the story, but we don't have to be like, because I bought a shirt, and I got this weird bowl cut haircut like John Denver.
My old basketball coach, Jackie, I gave her my Unwillable shoes. That is also a blog, and that song is You Can Call Me Al, which is a fun story on that. So I was wearing my John Denver shirt. Okay, back to actually the issue at hand. So Let It Be, of course, who doesn't love that song? It's the Beatles. It's Paul McCartney. I'd always listen to it. But on my internet radio during work, this would be in the fall collection of music.
Here we go.
Fall music is John Denver. It's Mumford and Sons. It
Gordon
is
Lightfoot.
Jim Croce. Gordon Lightfoot. That is fall music at its finest. And I remember that coming on Pandora, the cover by John Denver. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Paul, but like John does this better than you. And in college, I bought like this, again, double CD of John Denver, listened to it all the time. So I'm a big fan, but Let It Be was kind of, again, where I'm like hanging by a thread. That was on the download list. I was listening to it when I was getting sick. And I can remember, I feel like driving north and south down Washington Street, like I can picture some of these songs and me in my car and just how sick I felt. And I can remember getting tears in my eyes with Let It Be, like something is wrong. And again, I think I was starting to fear that I was dying. So that's a huge song. I use that a lot in my speeches. I've used it as a hashtag. It's just honestly probably one of the most beautiful songs on this playlist. I love it so much.
And just to get off track, I would like to let the listeners know that Christmas time tends to be a miserable time in this Erithson Stebbins household, because over the speakers at high peak volume is usually something like Anne Murray soundtracks. So like this soundtrack isn't that bad. I mean, I could X off the She Ran and some others, but the Anne Murray Christmas music, I can feel it creeping up behind me. And just to let
it's amazing. And my grandma and I used to listen to that tape. So you leave me alone. And I also like John Denver and the Muppets.
And Jackie doesn't know this, but all of Jackie's cassettes are now listed on eBay. If you would like signed copies of Anne Murray Christmas music cassettes, please let me know. Also, I have a big cassette boombox for sale on eBay. So
I didn't have that tape. My grandma did. Thank you very much. And I'm assuming she got rid of it. But my tape case was blue and it had felt, and my uncle gave it to me and I loved it. And it had tapes like Miami Vice, which I own the CD. It had Michael Jackson. It had some great stuff. So if I'm selling those, people, I'm telling you, you're going to want to buy them.
Did you spill some coffee on those tapered pants? All right. Number 11 on the Unwillable soundtrack is The Boxer covered by Mumford and Sons. What is the story?
So the Boxer has layers and levels. Simon and Garfunkel are my fall music. Love them so much. I have this memory of the Boxer with my friend Mark Schneider. So Max Schneider was on the podcast earlier this year. He's a lawyer. He's now the United States Attorney for North Dakota. Dear friend, Max's dad, Mark, was a legendary trial lawyer, and we were involved together in party politics. And I remember it was right before I became the vice chairwoman of the party. I was the youngest party chair, vice chair in the country at the time. So this is like 2010. I'm this little baby lawyer. And we were all out on the patio of this wonderful Mexican restaurant. And there was this guy playing his guitar, his acoustic guitar. And I remember him playing the Boxer. And I like have this image of looking over at my friend Mark, and he's kind of singing along and like strumming a fake guitar. Like Mark was so damn cool. So I loved that song. And then when I was working, listening to my fall music, I remember hearing the cover by Mumford and Sons. And I really had gotten into them, I don't know, a few years back.
2013.
They were definitely fall music too. And I loved that cover. I mean, I love Simon and Garfunkel so much, and their original obviously is amazing. So, but I loved that cover. That was another one. I was like, oh my gosh, I need to download this. That was when I didn't have Apple Music. I don't even know if people did at that time. So I was like buying these songs off iTunes when I speak of the download. So I got the Boxer, and I was listening to that a lot when I was getting sick. Same thing. I can see myself like driving with like tears in my eyes, you know, and the fighter still remains. And I was like, stuff's getting real here. So yeah. And then I listened to that constantly in recovery. I literally wore it out. Same thing, like, you'll rise up, you'll have to do this, like, you've got to find the fighter in you.
All right, after that is number 12, Society by Eddie Vedder. Now I'm actually intrigued. I don't think I ever remember you talking about this one. So
oh yeah, this is a big one, and I think I kind of questioned it, but not really, because it had to be on here. 12 and 13 are really my dark songs. So Society comes from the book Into the Wild, which is an amazing memoir. I knew the song before I read the book. I read the book in recovery. And I was a big Pearl Jam fan in high school. Oh my God, we wore out Pearl Jam in high school. But this song was one that I found on internet radio, and I was like obsessed with it. It's very dark though. It's about this guy absolutely like leaving society. And to me, it's kind of got a lefty vibe in it, but dark song. So I finally downloaded it. I'm like, I need this. And that was one of those that I was like, yeah, don't play this like early in the morning when it's dark, when you're driving to and from swimming, you're exhausted and you don't feel well. And it's just, it's kind of a chilling song, but I think it has a part in this playlist. And this is the part of, you know, where I'm starting to lose control.
And going back to that scary next song, it's Requiem for a Tower, London Music Works, which we all know is this song now like chills my spine, because it just makes me think of you at the most darkest period of this whole illness, for me anyway, because you were at your worst. But go on.
Yeah, so this is one that I absolutely had to ban myself from listening to. So heard it on internet radio. This is in the book. I watched Requiem for a Dream. My older brother like recommended that to my mom, which now I'm like, oh my God, his movie recommendations and mine are very different. So I was home for spring break, like my sophomore year. That show was so creepy and so, to me, like dystopian. They're all drug addicts. They like ruin their lives. I'm sure in a lot of ways it's genius. I thought it was like freaky. I mean, this is a person though that I don't watch any movies that mess with my mind. I did not like it. But that song like pierces through your mind and it plays on repeat. And it's like dark and heavy. So I remember hearing it on internet radio and I was like, oh my God, I about fell out of my chair because it made me think of that movie. But it was so good. So once again, I download it because I'm like, oh no, I really like this. Had to ban myself from that song as I, you know, over those few weeks after I downloaded it when I was getting sicker and sicker, because I thought it was going to give me a heart attack one morning. It's in the book. I talk about it a lot of my speeches. I play clips of it. I actually have the license to use it in my speeches. I tracked down the people in New York City, and they basically said, you're no one. We don't care if you ever make it big, call us. So I absolutely have permission to use this song. So I play clips, and I tell people that is literally the only way to understand my illness. Play that scary-ass song in the dark when you haven't slept in a month and you feel like strung out by drugs and terrified, and just play that song. It's like cymbals and chanting and you can't totally hear it. And I compare it to when Batman is stuck in like that whatever cave.
Yeah, that cave jail. Yeah.
Which was so creepy, and the prisoners like chanted him out. And so I use this one a lot. I don't listen to it as much anymore because this is one also that kind of takes me to a dark place. Like I feel it in my chest. But I think this, like, right here, we're getting to, like, you know, the linchpin here, the grand finale of the onset and the grand mal seizure, and it is that Icky song.
So after that horrifying song, you have on track number 14 here, Flashed Junk Mind by Milky Chance, which is one of my favorite songs. Why is this on your soundtrack?
I do think I got that song from you because you, through your boss, Scott, you kind of introduced me to like the Lumineers and Mumford and Sons, like when our first baby was born. And I remember you liked the song. And so I'd hear it on internet radio and it was just one I really wanted. This one I kept on because it was on that playlist of downloads. And I do remember that in this, these are all in order, the download ones. Which is so eerie how then they end up like tracking the book. But Flash Junk Mind, I would listen to a lot when I got my new car. And that's just one of them. It just kind of grosses me out.
All right, moving on to track number 15, Wilder Mind by Mumford and Sons.
Not a huge story on this one. Heard it on internet radio, liked it. It was on the downloads. But I feel like Mumford and Sons were kind of important to me in the onset and recovery. That was one though that I don't really listen to it at the time. Kind of makes me sick.
Number 16, another one of my favorites because it was the intro to my favorite baseball show in the morning, Hand Clap by Fitz and the Tantrums.
This was one you introduced me to. I liked it. I would hear it on my internet radio. There was one person that I really felt like kind of oddly abandoned me after I got sick. And I remember she liked this song, and I think her kids did. So this is another one that actually kind of gives me just like the willies, because I can think about it those last few days at work, and I can kind of think, I like associate it with you and baseball, which makes me like think of that Arizona trip.
Yeah.
And I think some of this too, there is a little rhyme and reason for this, because I know I'm speaking to people who are affected by AE and other chronic illness. Two things are huge triggers for me. Smells are the absolute worst. Like Purell sanitizer in the right time, day and way can almost knock me over because all I can smell is St. Alexis Hospital, where I was after the seizure. And songs really elicit very strong memories for me. So Hand Clap is one that I'm just like, yeah, I can listen to, and it's a cool song. It's like a fun pump up. I'm sure that's how I kind of listened to it in those days, but yeah, hard for me now.
Next on the list at track number 17, All These Things That I Have Done by The Killers.
I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. So that was on the download list. I think that was kind of like I would try to pump up. That guitar is amazing. This was kind of a you song. I know you liked this. I'm a little hot and cold on The Killers, but I like this song. I listen to it a little. I feel it in recovery. Sometimes I write extensively about being out for walks by myself, and this is where I have my moments all the time, and I use my songs to have these moments. A lot of these songs, this list is like therapy for me in so many ways. That's one I'll kind of listen to and like walk a little taller. Like I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. So I can still listen to that one. It's good.
Coming in on track number 18, surprise, surprise, 60 Years On by Elton John, who was 60 about 60 years ago.
Wow. My rosary has broken and my beads have all slipped through. So when he turned 60, they did this huge concert. It was his 60th show at Madison Square Garden. It was my first year of law school. we like had crap internet. So I remember barging into my roommate's room. She was gone and like using her computer, which I never had done something like that before. But I was like, it's in the name of Elton. I bought like the DVDs. And of course, so it's his 60th birthday, 60th show at Madison Square Garden. Of course, he leads the concert with 60 years on. And that is kind of a darker, more chilling. It's a really beautiful song. So this part of the playlist now is my head's exploded. My mind's exploded. I've woken up to learn of this horrifying disease. And I really am starting to learn that my life is like going south. Well, it had already gone south. And then I was going to lose my career. So this is part four, I believe, in the book, or part three. And yeah, and I used to pray the rosary a lot. I talk about that a lot in the book because I was just so decimated and isolated that I had little left to rely on than faith in God. So I think leading into the recovery, the 60 years on, that was a perfect song. And that came out in the book. That wasn't part of any list.
Track number 19, Suit and Jacket by Judah and the Lion.
Love that song. It actually came on the other day and I haven't listened to it in a long time. So that one comes from my little brother. He would send me some texts when I got sick. And that's one thing that we share a lot, music. And he'll send me stuff that he thinks is new and different. He's still a little bit of a, you know, hard rock. I'm old. But I remember being down in your office riding the bike because that was, you know, all I could do, like my little exercise and my prayer and cry pretty much all the time. And I remember being on the bike and he sent me that song. And I don't know if I realized it right away, the meaning, but now like looking back, you know, I ain't trading my freedom for no suit and jacket. And it's like, again, comes full circle. A while back, I did a blog where I gave away all my suits. I think that was last fall because I wore one to a speech. And I'm like, this is not you. You are Jackie, the black suit, boring lawyer. That's not you. This is Jackie with red high tops and the Just Keep Swimming tattoo. So now I listen to that all the time in recovery. I just loved it because he sent it to me. And the meeting now is really profound because I did kind of... I guess it's like I've kept my freedom, but I did have to hand in the suit and jacket.
That makes sense. Number 20, I Don't Like Mondays, covered by Tori Amos, which I really don't like Mondays, so this could be on my soundtrack.
This is a great song. It's a little dark. It's a lot dark. So this one comes from, this is all the recovery part of the playlist. I was up at like midnight every day because of my steroids, and I had nothing to do. Broken and brain broken. So I would lie on our couch and watch TV, which was really, I had never really watched TV in my life. I didn't even know how to run ours.
That's, I can attest to that.
And so I first started watching old Boston Legals, realized I was going to run out. And then I turned to the West Wing and I was the only person on earth that didn't know how great that was. So I think it's after like someone plants a bomb at like a swim tournament in the West Wing. And of course it, you know, was terrifying for everyone. I can't even remember if it went off or what. And I remember Josh, like my favorite character, sitting in his office, like with his head in his hands, and they play this song. So I got it from West Wing in recovery. This is very much a recovery song. And then I write a lot about my friend, Rachel. She's in the book. I speak about her a lot. Rachel died of cancer in January of 2019. And she died on a Monday. And I think I found out like on a Monday or however it was tied to that. And I remember writing about her and thinking about her. And I used that song.
Coming in at track number 21, Walk With Me, Other Desert Cities.
I don't know if anybody else knows that song. It was
I
hard
have no
for
idea.
Me to...
I was almost going to say Other Desert Cities, but.
It is Other Desert. No, it is Other Desert. I was like, what? Okay, Other Desert Cities. This actually came from Boston Legal. I love, love, love that show. I could watch that front to back probably for the rest of my life. A lawyer goes to the funeral of this man she helps exonerate, and he was treated very poorly in the cities, released from jail, and I think he's like killed by like kind of this mob. And I remember she goes to his funeral and I thought that's a really beautiful song. So I had to like try to hear the lyrics and Google them. And I finally came to this song, and I actually have written a blog about Death Row. I haven't published it yet. It's really long. after I heard Anthony Ray Hinton speak right after my dad died in May. And that's the song I use, actually. So again, layers and layers, but I listen to that quite a bit, I think, in recovery.
Coming in at track number 22. Yes, 22. We've already beaten the record. Delta, Mumford & Sons.
Such a good one. This was on the original download. I was listening to it. No, it wasn't. That's right. That was Wilder Mind. Delta came from, I think you showed it to me. I think the guys played on Saturday Night Live, but I remember being very deep into recovery. And then I started listening to this song. So this is really a recovery song. It's got kind of a cool line in the middle where it's just kind of like drums. But I would say these songs kind of from 60 years on to about just about to the end until the Elton John songs, these are very much my recovery songs. And I'm not sure if you're supposed to listen to songs that like make you depressed when you're already depressed, but I did. And I think for me, it was a way to like get the sadness out. I really do. It was kind of my own music therapy. I talk about that in the book. So Delta was kind of, for whatever reason, kind of a sad one for me.
Coming in at track number 23, Play It Again, Luke Bryan. I never would have thought that you would have a Luke Bryan song on your playlist. So please, why this song?
So out of all the songs on this playlist, if one would make me cry, it would be this one. And it's all, it's not because of Luke Bryan, always kind of off key and off tune. this is it's probably the only song of his I like. Okay. So this one has layers of meaning too. This is one I would listen to just make myself sad and like scratch away at my wounds. Play It Again comes from when Mike and I started the firm. And anyone who's heard me speak or talk to me or knows me knows that like some of the biggest heartbreak in my whole story is like the loss of the law firm and the loss of, you know, what Mike and I had together. And that's one that's just never going to go away. And I've accepted that. So this song makes me think of Mike and the firm, and how it comes to be is actually kind of hilarious. Right before we left our old firm, Mike and I had one place of employment we knew, and we left and started our own firm. We were very young. Like, it was a big deal. And you remember vividly, like, everything in our household was riding on me. This, like, had to be a success. And Mike and I knew it would be, but still, it was nerve-wracking, well, right?
It's scary when you start something, yes.
Yeah, responsible for your own wages and everything. So just before we go to leave the law firm, someone that was going to come to work for me comes barging into my office and was like, hey, I was just arrested. This person was in law school at the time and got wasted drunk, and everybody around this person was drunk. I mean, it's a concert, right? And this is not judgment at all. I laughed. But it was like, hey, I got arrested. If I recall, like, this person's shirt got either tore over their head or they tore someone's shirt, like, got punched. I don't know. Absolutely crazy.
Super wedgies were involved.
Stupid nonsense. I don't know. Maybe this, like, reflects poorly on me as, you know, what turned out to be the senior partner of my own firm. I laughed about it. Like, I knew plenty of law students that did plenty of stupid stuff in law school, and some were arrested for it. So this guy was at a Luke Bryant concert, made me laugh. It turned out to be like not a big deal. So 10 minutes later, we like start our law firm. And the end of that summer, I created a soundtrack to the summer of what was Stebbins Malloy. Cause it was, you know, it was a big time, summer. Yeah. And this song was the first song on the soundtrack. So this song just elicits really strong feelings because there's always that hurt of the loss of my career and the loss of, you know, what we had at Stebbins Malloy. And when I was diagnosed with celiac disease at Mayo, that was like the last straw for me. I think it was March of 2019, and I was flying back. I was wearing a mask before it was cool, and I literally sobbed the whole plane ride home. I was glad it was dark and the guy next to me couldn't see me. I just bawled. And I remember, again, to torture myself, I like turned on the Stebbins Malloy soundtrack to just let it all out and be sad. And so this song is actually still kind of important to me in like a weird, sad way.
I don't know why you do that stuff to yourself. track number 24, Broken by Lifehouse.
I remember hearing this. This is quite a bit. Oh, no, actually, it's not. This is like right before I went into the law firm and told them I was leaving. Some people knew, some people were surprised. It was probably one of the most bitter meetings I've ever had, because it kind of felt like, yeah, this is a news test, Jackie. Like, and again, this is like my personal subjective where I was at feeling. It was that like everybody had already moved on without me. I had become completely irrelevant in the place I created and led. And I remember the night before I went in to tell everyone and kind of pretend like this is okay, but I was not okay. I remember Broken came on, like, I'm falling apart, I'm barely breathing with a broken heart. I mean, talk about that song played the night before I went in to have this meeting. And I loved Lifehouse in college. So I listened to that song a lot. This is kind of my I'm not okay, I'm mad at everybody time, especially as it like related to the law firm, just how sad and broken and devastated I really was. And I just, that was all I could think of, like a broken heart. And but there's also that point in the song where you find meaning through the pain. And, you know, I got there. It just, it took a long time.
Coming in next at number 25, It's Not My Time by the Minnesota Vikings and their endless Super Bowl. Never mind. It's Not My Time by Three Doors Down.
Loved Three Doors Down in high school. Love them in college. This was actually, I am not lying, this song came on the night before I made that announcement to the law firm too. You know, it's not my time. I'm not leaving. There's a pain in me. I mean, it just spoke to me. And in hindsight too, that I thought, you know, I was like going to die from this and I worried that I would die in recovery. So now I can look at it and say, yeah, you know, it's not my time. It wasn't my time. Thank goodness. But that song is also, that's kind of the dark Jackie. It's a really great song. This could be the end of me. The end of, yeah, now I'm thinking of this could be the end of me and everything I know. Again, so pertinent to the conversation I was having.
And we're not even done yet. Track number 26, Answer in the Sky by Mr. John Elton.
So Reginald Kenneth pulled through for me on this one. I love this song. I think the first time I heard this, he was on a TV commercial for an iPod. So I was in like college, which is funny because then he later would talk about how he didn't use technology and David had to load like songs onto his iPod.
Because he's 90.
Which is also how he got back with Leon Russell, which is one of my favorite albums.
And he fell down not too long ago. He's old.
I'm going to stop that story. I'm going to stop that story now. Answer in the Sky is part four, where towards the end of the book, I think it's part four. You know, I should probably know this, but I don't read my own book a lot. So Answer in the Sky was like me saying, okay, all my parts, the dividers in the book are going to be Elton quotes, of course. And I remember this one hit me because, of course, spoiler alert, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably know the spoiler alert. You know, we were going to have this little miracle baby. So I look back at that song. I've always loved it. It's so hopeful. Yeah, part four, A New Hope. You don't need a prayer, and there's no price to ask why. Well, sometimes you find an answer in the sky. Wow.
That actually wasn't bad. Number 27, the last regular track on this soundtrack. Applause, please. I'm Still Standing by Elton John. And by the way, when you call him by his real name, it sounds like he's a dog groomer.
Reginald Kenneth Dwight. Yes. okay, so Answer in the Sky, though, this is the hopeful part of the book, right? Like, we're getting to the hope, we're finding the meaning, we're telling ourselves that dreams can change, we're reminding ourselves that you are stronger than you think, which is what my friend Rachel was saying before she bravely died from cancer. So this is the highlight. This is why we have to end on a high note, right? And of course, I've always known how I was going to start this playlist and how I would end it. I'm Still Standing was, you know, if anybody's followed me, they know this one. This was my anthem. I took a long drive on one of my first anniversaries. I think it was the first anniversary of that icky trial in 2019 in March. And I just blared that song, I'm Still Standing, in my car over and over. And I was still pretty sick and didn't know I was going to be pregnant. COVID was coming, all kinds of things. But I'm Still Standing will forever be my anthem. Because as I end the book, like, I'm still standing. And that is truly all that matters. No matter the losses, no matter the destruction, I'm still standing. So got to end with that one.
All right. So that is the last song on the Unwillable soundtrack. But now we get into bonus tracks. And first, before we get into the songs of the bonus tracks, do you want to talk about why do you have bonus tracks? Are these like songs that just came to you afterwards? Were there songs that you just kind of forgot? Or what's the deal with the bonus tracks?
Such a good question. This is like a perfect softball, and I didn't even ask you to ask it. The bonus tracks, so when I was toying with this in my head for years, it was kind of like it would follow the book. And in some ways, and I'm not making this up, I kind of wrote the book with the idea of the soundtrack in my mind too, right? So I end with I'm Still Standing, and that could have just been the end of the playlist. But you know me, I like to have the last
one. We like to keep going and going. Yes, I'm aware.
I do. Like this podcast. Okay, we're winding it up. No, the bonus tracks were actually... I mean, I was writing this in June of 2023, so it's long after the book just tracks that first year, basically, of onset and recovery. But the bonus tracks, you know, that wasn't the end by any means, that I hit 1 year away from the seizure and declared myself in remission and knew I, you know, hoped I was going to live. I mean, I still had a lot of problems, still kind of do. So the bonus tracks are like, just a few little like tidbits that I feel like kind of encompass from that 1 year anniversary to when I released the book, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, track number 28, you heard that right, part of the bonus track section. Here Comes the Rain Again by the Eurythmics.
Told you I was a big Annie Lennox fan. This one, I think I heard like, you know, a few years ago, and again, was like, oh my gosh, I love her, love this. It made me think of my best friend, Lacey, my ride or die, who was so instrumental in my onset. Well, she's been instrumental in my whole life, obviously, but she helped me so much in kind of the post AE years. You know, she illustrated the cover of my book. And so there's kind of like that, like surface level makes me think of Lacey, but it's deeper. I think those years, so I got like the year away, that's the book. But then there's like, you know, how many years after, 4 years after. And I would probably title it Here Comes the Shit Again, honestly, because that's kind of what my life felt like. It was just, I've dealt with a lot. I will continue to deal with a lot medically. But I really feel like these bonus tracks kind of get me to where the book is published. And I feel like that was really kind of the time that I closed the chapter on a lot of this, literally, physically. So here comes the rain again, like here it comes. But remember, after the rain, what do you get? You get a rainbow. So that's kind of the meaning behind that one.
Important follow-up question. Does Lacey like the Eurythmics?
I feel like she likes that song. Lacey was very 80s driven. She grew up with way older brother and sister who like played 80s music for her when she was like in kindergarten. So I think she likes it. If not, I've made her like it.
All right. Next song, Save Yourself by Kaleo.
I think it's Kaleo.
I had to double check and I went on.
Kaleo. So I love Kaleo. Love, love, love him. Save Yourself is a deep one. I can tell you that one, I can listen to it now, but that was when I got very depressed and was having massive panic attacks in 2021. I remember listening to it when I take that yearly drive in March. Actually, I think this year was the first year I didn't, because I had too many bigger fish to fry to like go back in time and be sad. Like my dad was dying and was on hospice, so didn't do anything to, you know, commemorate icky feelings in March. I had plenty of new icky feelings. But I remember in 2021, like listening to that song. And then I was like, okay, actually now you are depressed. Like I was struggling big time. So I'm like, you can't listen to depressing songs. So I had to like banish that for a while, but that's a deep song. And I think that song to me reflects how my mental health completely fell apart through 2021. Well, obviously it had before. I just was too dumb to get it or admit it.
The next track, number 30 on the bonus tracks, is The Times They Are A-Changin', but this one is covered by Tracy Chapman. Why this choice?
Classic song, obviously. Love Dylan, but her cover is amazing. So this comes when I had started writing the blog. I was still struggling. I was in this, like, that I talked about early, just bitter, angry at everyone stage. And I wrote about getting rid of my alarm clock, which seems so benign, like, who cares? But it wasn't to me. It was the memory of me looking at that clock when it constantly would tick by and I had insomnia, and I hated it. And so I wrote this whole blog about it and how, like, how do we balance people with chronic health or when we've had our life disrupted? We can't get rid of everything. You want to burn your house down and every single thing and person associated with that past life, but, like, that's not realistic. So that song represents the years that I had to decide, like, who I was going to cut out of my life, who I would let back into my life, what I was going to cut out of my life, what suits I could throw away, what bedding. Remember, I couldn't stand the bedding on our bed from the trauma. Like, it was just, it was this constant existential crisis of, like, what goes and what stays. And in counseling, because I'm a very, like, 110 miles an hour, you do this. It's a little harder for me. I know this is news to you. I am like, you know, do it or don't. And through counseling, I had to learn, maybe I didn't have to burn everything to the ground, or maybe I didn't have to X people out of my life. Maybe I just needed to park it for a while and decide, like, kind of gradually, because it's not really my way either, especially with people, to, like, cut people out. That's just not me, but I was just so hurt and so broken. So it's easy to throw away bedding, but it's not easy to decide, like, how much of everything in your life, like, did I get rid of my car? Would have been a financially poor decision. But at the time, I hated it. I hated the smell. So that song represents what someone who's had their life disrupted, like, how we feel and for how long. And we're not, the times are changing and we're not sure how to change with them.
Next track, number 31, Learning to Fly, the live version by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
That song's so amazing. I think the live version was taped at Red Rock. It's Stevie Nicks in the background. I have loved this song for years. And right before Mike and I left our old law firm, I remember, like, literally the day before we left, I was sitting at my computer like, can you do this, Jackie? Like, are, you know, you got to put on your big girl pants here. And that song came on. And so that was on the soundtrack to the Stebbins Malloy summer because, you know, Mike and I, along with our team, like, we really learned to fly, and we had to hit the ground running in June when we started on June 1. And that song then kept coming back to me in my recovery because my wings got seriously clipped. Like, we learned how to fly in the law firm. And then, yeah, like, someone blew me up in the sky. So I really had to learn to fly again. So that one, I love it because it was the soundtrack of the summer at Stebbins Malloy. It was kind of my old life. The song is just fabulous. You and I heard that live, one of the first concerts we ever went to, like, besides, like, our local county fairs. That was one of the first concerts we went to in Bismarck. We were young and we didn't live here, obviously. I was in college, and that song live was unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's my favorite concert moment. Number 32 on the bonus tracks, The Rising, Bruce Springsteen.
First time I heard this song, I was in college, freshman year, literally terrified that I left my tiny one-horse town to go to this big university. And it was Professor Steve Light showed us, like, some video, I think, and this song was in it. And I was like, that's amazing. So I started listening to this song as a freshman in college. It reminds me of my friend, our friend, Caitlin, whose mom died of cancer when I was in recovery, which was hard on both of us, and extra hard for you because you saw her when I was in the hospital a few times. Like, it was definitely serendipity, I think, to see them because we were such, you know, fans of Caitlin's mom and dad, and it was just such a loss to us. And Caitlin's mom loved The Boss. So this song makes me think of Caitlin. She's such a strong woman. I know her mom was remarkable. And I listened to this song a lot during COVID when I literally, my mental health was failing and I was isolated. And I was trying to tell myself there would be a time where, like, COVID and my days of isolation would be over. So that was kind of a pivotal song too, where I felt kind of hopeless, but had to believe that, like, I would rise again.
That's really good. See, and I don't know anyone else that has, like, everyone has songs with meaning, but you have, like, you have almost like this is the reason why I listen to this song, here's part of it, here's the next part of it, and then to finish it out, this is very detailed, so that this is good. And the last song on the soundtrack to Unwillable, A Journey to Reclaim My Brain, and finishing out the bonus tracks, is Change by Tracy Chapman.
Such a good song. If you knew that you would die someday, saw the face of God in love, would you change? The whole song is Would You Change? This is another 2021 panic attacks, depression. Life just felt awful coming out of COVID, AE, just everything. I wrote a blog. I think it was published after I got my tattoo or right around as I'm just kind of trying to get away from these panic attacks, like back away slowly. And I remember it was about that time I took hold of my mental health, believed that whether it was the disruption in my brain or what had happened to me afterwards, that mental health definitely applied to me, took ownership of that part of the story. And I also took ownership of something that scared me for a long time, that I didn't want AE to change me, that I would still be the same person. I would be exactly the same. Maybe I wouldn't be at the law firm, but I'd kind of like fake it till you make it some other way. And towards the end of 2021, I finally realized, like, no, this has changed you, and that's okay. Like, I have changed. And Dr. Ava then interviewed me on this podcast about just kind of my recovery and mental health. And she had read that blog. And I remember her saying it was like me playing ping pong with myself about like my old life and my new life. And it's a beautiful blog. I love it. And at the end, I say, you know, I have changed. And so I think that is a great song to end the Unwillable playlist. I think we don't want to have life's disruption or horrible things change us. And maybe we are hesitant to that change, but I think I am living proof of it's okay. Like your common denominators are still the same, right? My values, my priority, my ethics, my family, my bad jokes, my long stories. But like the numerator has changed a lot, and I'm okay with that. So I think that's a great way to end the playlist. And if I can say so myself, dang girl, you got some fine taste in music.
Well, this podcast is now at about an hour and 15 minutes. I'm trying to figure out if the soundtrack is like, is it about 2 hours, you said?
Yeah, I probably should have looked at that. I don't remember. So I'm gonna have the link. I really should have it now, but it's going to be easy. I'm sure you can just type like Jam Stebbins on Spotify, but I will have it on my link tree, which is on my Instagram. I will tweet it out. I will have it on Instagram. I'll put it on TikTok with my movies. Did I have TikTok when we were still doing the podcast? Yeah, I did, because I started last winter.
You did start last winter. Okay.
In December, I think. Yeah, okay. I wasn't very good, or I didn't TikTok a lot, but I book talk.
You have your master's in TikTok now. I mean, you're doing things that I didn't know that you could do. So you have your master's in TikTok now, and it hasn't even been a year.
You're very flattering. I don't think it's that good, but I have fun with it. I think it's very authentic. It's mostly driven around the book and Unwillable. So super fun. So yeah, I'm going to have the playlist everywhere. I would love it if people would listen to it and feel some of the feels that I have felt. How many times can I say feel? And then if we do another edition of my book, which there's some talk of that for a few fun things that I'm going to, you know, keep under embargo for right now. But if we do issue another edition of the book, I definitely want to have the playlist in the back.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. And just because people can download the playlist, right? You can do that on Spotify. Is that?
I don't use it a lot.
I just want to keep track because the most sold, I can't talk, soundtrack ever in the history of movie soundtracks is The Bodyguard at 17 million copies sold. So I'm going to keep an eye on your Spotify and see if we can get 17 million downloads.
Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner, I am coming for you. And just kidding, I'm not singing We'll Always Love You. I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to get 17 million in one. I probably should put this on Apple Music too, and I probably will. For right now, it's on Spotify, but I know a lot of us use Apple. And then, of course, you could download it, which is what I usually use. So I will try to get it up on Apple as well, but this way, you'll have the songs. It'll be on Spotify. You can listen, or I'll probably put them on like a cute Canva picture and have them on Instagram so you can see it as well. But super excited to drop this on Brain Fever. Super excited to resurrect Brain Fever. It is my goal to get back to doing this each month. But I've got a lot of goals, and I'm very tired, and I have three
We
children.
got a lot of
So,
goals, but we also have a lot of other like personal house goals with three children in school starting and more sickness to come.
right. Yeah, I'm keeping Cheerios off the floor. No, I have a lot of great guests in mind. Someone wants to interview me about the book, which is actually really fun. She's like so much younger than me. She's like my little brother's age, and she's so sweet. I told her she could interview me because she's like, I have so many questions. So there's that. I would like to have a rheumatologist from Duke University come on. I've got a lot of ideas, so hopefully we're going to keep this rocking each month, so stay tuned.
We will. So, yeah, just always refresh your whatever you listen to podcasts on, refresh it. This one will come up and it'll probably surprise you. Like, oh, yeah, they did a podcast and I last listened to it in April, but we're still
Jack is
here.
still alive.
We're still here, but busy, crazy summer and a lot of exciting stuff now and down the road. So, yeah, I guess that's all I have to say. I'll just go creep back into the background again and be hidden.
Stay tuned. Just keep swimming. And Sean, send us out with I'm Still Standing.
You got it, sister.
Just like ice, and there's a cold and lonely light that shines from you. You'll wind up like the wreck you.